Buongiorno. Can I use the phone, super play? The telefono.
I'm Mick Jagger. Mickey Tagiro. Mickey.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Riley.
I'm Daryl Ursary.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Mike D. And this is the Forgotten Failures podcast. So this is the first episode in a while that we've had four people together.
Yeah.
Fun times.
Full house.
Fun
times.
Yep.
Excellent.
And I think I've come up with a good way to describe what we do on the podcast.
Oh,
so
what
basically,
is that?
We find an obscure movie, whether it's never been on DVD, out of print on DVD, or otherwise forgotten, and we try to decide whether or not it deserves to be forgotten. How about that?
Yeah,
not bad.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Yeah.
I dig it.
I'm into it.
Okay, good. So this movie was from the mind of Mick Jagger.
Yes, from the mind and soul. The body and soul of Mick Jagger.
And the dance moves. And the hips. And the hips of Mick Jagger.
Yep. So this is a hard-to-describe movie. However, Mike D. has asserted that he could describe the plot in under 90 seconds, in a minute and a half. So we wanted to test him and see if he could get this plot down in a minute and a half. And we're going to do that right now.
Plot summary is as follows. Mick Jagger and his girlfriend, Jerry Hall, are in Brazil for a music video shoot. Playing the music video director is Dennis Hopper. He's always angry all the time. Jerry Hall and Mick Jagger are always angry all the time. They film the music video. Mick Jagger ends up getting abducted by transvestites, and then he gets put in a truck, and then he gets taken to a banana plantation where he gets sexually used by the owner of the banana plantation. Okay? So he spends a lot of time at this banana plantation, and then some prostitutes show up at the banana plantation, and then
1 minute remaining.
He runs off with the beautiful nappy-haired prostitute played by Ray Don Chong, who does a Brazilian accent but only says about five lines of dialogue. They end up going to the classy brothel where she came from. Then they escape from the brothel. They laugh at a woman getting raped under the false impression that she is Mick Jagger. They run away from the brothel. What happens next? He tries to convince some people at a bodega that he is Mick Jagger, and they don't believe it. Meanwhile, Jerry Hall is in London cavorting with a senator and eventually ends up killing the senator, and then Mick Jagger eventually gets confused with the real Mick Jagger because they all think he's dead. So he encounters a phony Mick Jagger in an airport in Brazil. He can't get back to London until the following day, so they have one beautiful night where he plays a great song in a club in Rio, and then eventually he gets back to London, and everyone knows it's
one.
Him.
Wow. That might have been amazingly perfect.
Yeah. That was the entire movie.
All right, see you guys. See you guys next time.
That's it. By the way, that's way more work than actually went into the script of this movie, so I'd say you're...
I forgot about the whole casino scene.
Yeah, it went so fast. It was all just a blur.
The casino, the car that they were driving.
Oh, there was definitely some plot holes to fill in there. But
the part where he was in prison for a while and then she saved him with her poisoned nipple.
Yeah the whole jailhouse rock scene.
Yeah.
The whole movie is just really a vehicle for Mick Jagger's solo career, which says a lot about his solo career and the state of cinema in 1985.
This was a direct to home video movie.
Oh, was it? Yeah. It wasn't even MTV produced.
No, it was
a
CBS Fox.
Yeah, it says
production.
On the box CBS Fox, it was released according to a Billboard article I found online. It was released direct to home video in October of 1986.
Nice,
which is over a year after the release of the album "She's the Boss," Mick Jagger's solo debut. From which all nine songs from the album She's the Boss are heard in their entirety in this movie.
So if this was a promotional movie for the album, was the album that bad?
Like, well, not the movie was, well? So...
The album seems to have been a lot more 80s than the Rolling Stones were, even at their peak of 80s-ness.
Yeah,
and to remind you what the Rolling Stones sounded like, before Mick Jagger went off the deep end, they even play a couple songs like Jumpin' Jack Flash, just to remind you what, the real Rolling Stones sounded like before the 80s happened.
So at this point, Mick Jagger had started his solo career about a year earlier. He had also been widely reviled by critics and fans alike for the horrible music video for his song Dancing in the Street with David Bowie, if anyone's ever seen that.
Oh, yeah.
and his the horrible song.
The very homoerotic dancing in the street.
That was about a year before this, or maybe it was actually after they filmed this. This was not a great time for Mick Jagger in terms of coolness.
No, this was like the Stones were on their downfall. I don't know where Keith
Richards Watson
was.
And Keith Richards were both deeply into drugs in this period. Mick Jagger was very annoyed by that, so he kind of went behind their backs to start his crappy solo career.
With this says this was co-written by Mick Jagger. I want to know what they mean by written.
I don't think there was a script.
There wasn't. I think that there was like a storyboard. There was his album, and then they created a storyboard around the songs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to say
and
they...
probably the sex scenes.
I think that we went in this order. I think they did the album, then Mick Jagger filmed the sex scenes, and then they just kind of put in extras around that from the, you know, from Brazil. Yeah.
It was totally like they went in like, hey, we got this new album coming out.
And we got a lot of videos of Mick Jagger having sex with people. So
really awful sex.
And he is like really insistent on using.
There's a lot of licks.
No, he also had sex with the dominatrix style slave driver,
banana plantation owner.
She was played by the masculine Brazilian actress Norma Bengel.
So Mick Jagger ends up becoming some sort of indentured servant. He's paid.
You can call him a slave. It's white slavery. I mean, he's paid, but
he was a slave.
He can't leave.
So this plantation dominatrix, Indiana Jones dominatrix?
She carried a sweet whip.
She carried a whip, and she found him because he was on a beach getting pummeled in the face by a bunch of capoeira dancers.
Yeah, this was after he'd been abducted by the transvestites.
Yeah, he had walked into a capoeira dance and didn't understand that they were just going to keep kicking. And so it seemed like she was rescuing him. However, she was actually enslaving him.
Yes.
Not only to work on her plantation, but to work on her body. But that's a very small portion of this movie.
Right. It's just a series of Mick Jagger's fantasies.
And this is
much.
Where. Yeah, Everything this, this is. It says that this is part of Mick Jagger's movie. Fantasies.
Yeah.
On the box.
Yeah. It's a freewheeling 80-minute odyssey into the fantasies and fears of the world's most celebrated and envied rock star, played convincingly by Mick Jagger.
Convincingly.
Mick Jagger convincingly played himself.
That's the least we can ask. Jerry Hall did not convincingly play herself.
No, which is sad because she was just playing herself.
Yeah.
Dennis Hopper also played himself in that he was angry and did anything for money.
Yeah.
Give me five guys up there on the scaffolding. It's not safe. Don't tell me it's not safe. Just get them up there. I'm tired of this rapido stupido shit. Just get them up there. Insure them. I don't give a shit.
As the music video director was King Koopa himself, Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
Who was cast to type as the director of a wildly out of control, money-wasting movie shot in South America.
Yeah.
I think this is the movie that drove him to putting bombs on the bottom of buses.
Yeah. This is probably what drove him to, a decade later, be in the Super Mario Brothers movie. Yeah. He looked back on his life.
So he and
he was like, "Well, I was in that Mick Jagger movie, so who cares?
It's all, downhill from here.
My career can only be of a certain quality from now on."
Yeah.
So he and Jerry Hall spend the entire movie, which is they're not in much of it, but they spend the entire time being angry, whereas Mick Jagger goes through the whole range of emotions.
Yeah, they do this weird thing. They do it at least two times. In the beginning, there's this music video that Mick Jagger's shooting in Brazil, and Jerry Hall, his girlfriend, is in it with him. They have some weird eye fight. Where it's just like they're looking at each other during the music video and pissing each other off.
It's a whole thing where it's like, I knew we'd be dancing with other people, but I didn't know you'd be dancing that close with other people.
She was all up on this guy, and this guy was giving her sexy eyes.
He called
her Spider-Man. Dago Spider-Man.
Dago Spider-Man.
And his name in the credits was actually Spider-Man.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Which is confusing because
the guy wasn't dressed like Spider-Man.
No.
I don't understand why it was Spider-Man. He was dressed in like S&M wear.
Yeah, it was like, it looked like someone just put electrical tape all over him.
But after this fight,
he looked a lot less like Spider-Man than the average ninja. Sorry, go on.
So after this fight, she decides to leave, and he gets abducted in a weird abduction that like no one really has any reason to abduct him.
Actually, it's the way that people who've never been to Brazil assume all of South America is. Probably. Like, you walk outside and transvestite prostitutes rob you and beat you up and then kill each other.
Anyway, so after this happens, they juxtapose shots of Mick Jagger in like just utter turmoil, like having like the worst time of his life, just having
descent into penury.
Yes.
Oh, during the playing the title you know, the title track of the movie, I guess, Running Out of Luck.
Yeah.
Because you can tell he's really down and out. He's in the deserts of Brazil,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, the first song. That's the first entire song we hear after the song that they're doing the music video for.
So technically, I guess, was in Brazil because it did say it was filmed on location. So
We were having
a very good discussion of, like, I mean, is that really in Brazil?
This one was definitely filmed in Brazil.
Yeah,
you can tell just by the
desert. That could have been London.
The weird cars and trucks everyone was driving. That was not America or London.
Yeah, so twice in the movie, they juxtapose Mick Jagger having a really hard time.
Against in prison or getting raped or whatever.
Against his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend having a really great time. She was his girlfriend in the movie.
Yeah, in the movie.
So
it's so confusing keeping different parts of Mick Jagger's life together at this point.
In his fantasy, they're still dating.
Dream come to
life. Which would tell you so much about his life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So they show him, like, they have this weird, in the first juxtaposition, weird shot that they do, they show him in this weird, like, desert mirage montage. It's the most mirages I've seen ever in any movie.
Any movie that was not a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Yeah.
He falls down at least 10 times.
Yeah. It's really just like a montage of him falling into different things.
Into things and then seeing a mirage. You
saw your classic mirages, your ice cream truck, your girl on roller skates.
Your limo.
The limo.
Or the most confusing one was a phone booth that when he got up to it, it turned out there actually was just like a phone in a box.
That wasn't a mirage. That was just a disappointment.
But the phone didn't work. It was the cord was not connected.
And the phone booth, I was thinking they were going to do a little crossover there because it very much looked like the Bill and Ted phone booth.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, shit.
You thought he was going back in time?
Yeah. Like, this is how it's going to end. They're going to take Mick Jagger back to the 1600s.
Home on location, 1600s, Brazil.
Yep.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Wouldn't
if
that
then
be great?
Mick Jagger then showed up at Bill and Ted's like high school, like at the end scene when they have that big concert scene.
Oh, yeah. He's a singer for Wild Stallion.
Yes.
That'd be so good.
Wow, that was definitely one of the battles of the
band. Man, we
that's what he should have done. Yeah. Instead, he did this.
So
Bill and Ted 3. Okay. Starting
eventually, he gets past the mirages. But
but they're juxtaposing him against his girlfriend, who decided to leave Rio because he's left. She thinks he's just gone off, and so she leaves, and she's on an airplane, like first class. She's getting like pretzels and Moet, whatever. She's getting that. She's feeding caviar to this like rich guy.
Yeah.
And
Mick Jagger's also a rich guy, but this guy was like an elderly businessman.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
respectable
Mick Jagger
rich
wasn't
man.
Rich.
Not like, you know,
she's flirting with a rich guy.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Makeup wearing.
This weird thing where she
strange dancing.
It's all to music, so there's no dialogue. But she looks at her watch and she's talking to the rich guy on the plane, which I thought that there's no dialogue to it, but they start. I was thinking that maybe she was saying like time to join the Mile High Club, like there's something.
I thought she was just pointing at his newspaper.
No, she was.
Oh,
she
that's
was pointing
an interesting article.
She pointed at her watch and then talked to him about it.
This movie is really lacking in dialogue all throughout. But like this scene, we just decided like we wanted to figure out what she was really saying to this like weird businessman who's just sitting next to her. So I guess now we will tell you what we each individually thought she said. I thought she said, "Would you like to put my eggs in your mouth?" Which. She
makes
did
sense.
Feed him caviar next scene, so I think
that
that's
makes total sense.
That makes sense to me.
That's the most plausible one. I thought she was just saying, that newspaper is so interesting, looking at the newspaper that he had.
Hey, I can read too.
Yeah.
I think it was very much along the lines of like, hey, you could be my next Mick.
And you know, the weird thing is, I mean, she's a very beautiful woman for the time. You know, she's
Of that era.
She's a
very
a
tall,
of the era.
Blonde model.
But like, she instantly goes from, like, I just broke up with my rock star boyfriend, Mick. And I'm going to get on this plane, and now you're my boyfriend, old senator.
Yeah.
Was that
like, how do you go from Mick Jagger to some old-ass senator? Dude?
I mean, this man is old enough to be her father.
Yeah, definitely. Looking at the movie, where it says script credited to Mick Jagger and Julian Temple, that's the director, and it casts Mick Jagger's wife as a woman who does nothing but complain and is a total gold digger.
Yes.
Oh, yes. And her character only evolves more as the movie goes on.
She has a weird arc. Like, her story arc is just really... She goes out with the senator after Mick, right?
They
get into some really weird stuff. Like, he's gifting her things as you would when you have a, like, if you have a sugar daddy or whatever.
Trophy wife.
Yeah.
Draped with furs.
Yeah. And then they do some, like, Eyes Wide Shut stuff.
Yeah.
When he's in a mask and she's with like
a
lady doing
a weird
leg
mask
things
too.
On the
it's like a melted Batman.
Yeah, they were like scissor fighting kind of.
Yeah,
I don't
like
know
a,
what the heck was going on.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
She was like straddling a television and
pin each other.
It was like a scissor dance.
It was like the figure four. Like they were trying to Ric Flair each other.
Yeah. Woo!
and these men in suits and masks were just looking on.
Yeah, and then she was doing some weird stuff where she was riding a TV with people dancing on the TV, but she was riding it with a whip and like a little like equestrian hat.
That was the darker girl.
And I couldn't make out if there was an actual saddle on the TV or not. It might have just been a blanket or something. I don't know.
I mean,
but the senator was really into it.
Yes, very.
So Mick Jagger's been into this world of poverty-stricken degradation in Brazil, whereas Jerry Hall has now discovered the heights of aristocratic depravity in New York, I guess.
It's a senator, but they're in England. Yeah, and I don't know how that works.
Well, I guess he's just on a diplomatic mission. Maybe.
By diplomatic mission, he means doing weird sex stuff with Mick Jagger's wife.
And all the while with the car drivers sitting there with binoculars checking it out through the window.
So we have these parallel storylines. So we could just finish off the Jerry Hall storyline right now.
You know what? Because it doesn't go anywhere germane to the plot at all. No. So
the driver is just, we're assuming he becomes insane with lust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is during the seventh musical video montage of the movie for the song Secrets.
Again, very little dialogue, so we can only assume that he becomes mad with lust.
Yeah. So we see this whole scene through the driver's binoculars.
There's some awesome shots with the driver's binoculars, but the senator and this lady are in the car. The girlfriend are in the car. The senator has to go somewhere. She's upset about it, but he leaves. And then the driver then locks her in the vehicle and drives off.
That's a classic bone collector scenario.
Yeah, and she's she can't get out, so she's trying to fight. And he has a gun with a silencer on it.
Yeah,
takes her to the side of a road somewhere. Mm-hmm. And goes to kill her, again, all set to music, so there's no dialogue.
Yeah. It's basically like November Rain.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, she convinces him that, like, hey, I'll have sex with you instead.
If you don't shoot me.
And then flashes her mirror into his eyes, because there was some sort of light source.
This is during the dark of pitch black night.
Yeah. But there was a light in
and
the vehicle.
And she uses the compacts to blind him somehow.
And I think there was a lighthouse, because there kept being, like, a light that would, like, just circle around.
That's not as bright as the sun. No, it's not. You can't blind somebody with a compact using that amount of light.
And the compact is in her hand for a real long time. Yeah, like he's trying to line it up with his eyes.
And he doesn't figure it out. He's just like,
he can't even be bothered to notice what's going on.
This gets weirder because she escapes, but she escapes and she goes into the backyard of this house, which happens to be the senator's house.
Yeah, he parked very close.
And
by
he's
just had a party somewhere.
Like the senator wanted her dead, but he didn't want her dead too far away from where he lives.
And it's not snowy, but it's icy because there are chunks of ice everywhere.
Yeah.
And the there's a pool that's just iced over. And she goes to shoot the senator.
She
does, but he's alive. He falls into the pool. He's alive, struggling to get out. And she just like...
And not bleeding very much
she,
either.
She like pool stomps him?
She holds him under the water with,
With her foot. She keeps stomping his head with her foot.
After he falls through the weird ice on top of the pond. Or the pool.
But it was probably that ice from Don't Break the Ice.
That's exactly what it looked like.
The world's biggest Don't Break the Ice game.
Don't Break the Ice.
Yeah. So then after she murders this guy, she steals his little white dog and then winks at the camera. And then her story is over.
Yeah. Nothing happens.
All that happens is she breaks the fourth wall, and then that's it. Yep. Her story is done. You never see her or hear about her for the rest of the movie.
So that's part of the fears and fantasies of Mick Jagger.
Yeah,
he hopes that his wife will one day kill a senator and get away with it.
Or kill himself. I'm not sure.
Or have her
a whole allegory.
It's kind of strange because, I mean, clearly, like, somebody wants to kill his wife. Yeah. And this is all the fantasies of Mick Jagger. So maybe Mick Jagger wants to pay his driver to kill his wife.
Yeah.
He definitely wants his wife to get naked in front of a lot of windows.
Yeah. That's
psychoanalytic standpoint. You can see him as being just about all the characters, including the overseer, the prostitute, the old bearded guy who works at the brothel, all those characters.
So basically, Mick's got some problems.
It's like, I'm not there. Every character is a different reflection of Mick Jagger.
After he becomes a weird sex slave of the Indiana Jones plantation.
Yeah, sorry, I want to interrupt, but I pointed out that there were a lot of transvestites earlier in the movie.
Yes.
Then I said, oh, now we see a female transvestite.
Yes.
You know, a woman dressed as a man. Then you said, a woman dressed as an Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah. It was a woman dressed as, and she stays in character the entire time.
Yeah,
she might be one of the best actors in the whole movie.
Yeah, never takes off that hat and that whip except in bed.
The Colonel guy was pretty good.
He was great. Yeah. I mean, he played a drunken lush like nobody's business.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she, they're not slaves because at some point they get hookers to come in.
Yeah, maybe that's like part of their payment.
Like a wagon of prostitutes.
Yeah, just a wagon of happy prostitutes just coming by them.
They just drop the banana choppers.
They drop the side, unload them. They just grab which prostitute they want and bring them into their hammock room.
Yep. They don't even seem to put any thought into their choice.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, you're the one I grabbed, so I'm banging you now.
Yeah.
Radon Chong is one of the prostitutes.
Yes.
She has by far the biggest hair of any of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
She resists the man who has chosen her.
Mick Jagger somehow convinces her. I don't know where he gets the dress from, but he tells her that he's trying to leave Mm-hmm. This doesn't actually happen in dialogue.
I think it was her dress.
Oh, okay.
Because she came out with like a towel or a blanket or something.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah.
But he did have a wig that we don't know where it came from.
After trading a pair of shoes for her, Mick Jagger escapes with her.
Yeah. And her dress and some weird wig.
To the brothel.
Pale colored
to,
wig.
You know, continue his life in Brazil as a Brazilian prostitute.
Yeah, he is now prostitute.
We don't know how long he spends. We don't know how long he spends as a Brazilian prostitute. It seems like this movie takes place over a long period of time. Mick Jagger presumed dead. Everyone's convinced that he is dead. Dennis Hopper replaces him with a different rock star by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Jerry Hall has this whole love affair with the senator, which ends up in the newspapers and everything.
Yeah. So
who knows how long he was in Brazil?
Yeah. I mean, he went to prison and everything, so there's a whole lot of stuff.
By the way, it should be mentioned the reason why people think Mick Jagger is dead is because when he's rolled by the transvestite prostitutes.
Yeah.
They're just transvestites.
Oh, well, okay.
They're just transvestite muggers.
Okay, yeah, maybe they're just muggers.
They're just transvestite video girls.
They might not be sex workers.
Yeah.
But I guess they rob him, and then the three transvestites, they have an argument about how they should divvy up the money.
Yep.
So then they just decide to kill the one who won't give the money.
Yeah.
And he happens to be the one who has stolen Mick Jagger's jacket.
Yes.
Which has his passport in it.
Yeah. So the Brazilian government, I guess, you know, pulls this car out of the water wherever they dump this guy's body, and they find Mick Jagger's passport on him. Yeah. So
they
assume
find a body, so they're just like, oh, he's dead.
Well, no, they do find a body. The body's
not,
in
not
there.
Mick Jagger.
Oh, they don't find.
They just presume it's Mick Jagger.
Yeah, they just go like,
Oh, inglese passport.
This is 1986 Rio de Janeiro. Yeah. They don't have a CSI.
Yeah.
There's
just
no
like, oh, dead body, Mick Jagger.
Like
there's no DNA at this time. There's no like.
He's got a bra and panties on and a weird sequin jacket. This is probably Mick Jagger.
It is Mick Jagger.
Typical rock star.
This is Mick Jagger. So yeah, so he's in the brothel for a while, but he ends up having a really gross sex scene. Really gross sex scene with what's her face?
Radon Chong.
Oh, we're at this point.
Commando fame.
Yeah, there's a lot of tongue in all the sex scenes.
Yeah.
This one stands out as being the tongue-iest.
I kind of feel like Mick Jagger was very intent. He's like, no, I want like a real sex scene, how people really have sex and make love.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, I really want to show real sex. And then that's what they
and
did.
And it's going to be classy.
That's how Mick Jagger has
most
sex.
Most people's sex scenes don't have that much tongue in them.
It's like,
I really disagree with that statement.
Yeah, he like basically hoovers like her entire face with his mouth.
It's a lot of open mouth and just tongue hanging out.
It's like how sixth graders assume people kiss. It doesn't even look real.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't even look like they're trying to make it look real. It's just like
they're going through the, like, you know, just they're going through the motions of what
everybody's
people...
left wet in the wrong places.
Yeah.
Like, that's not...
It's so bizarre that it's gotta be... That's how Mick Jagger is.
Yeah.
Like, it's so bizarre, you couldn't make it up. That's how Mick Jagger makes
out. So the sex scene is to the song Hard Woman from the same Mick Jagger album.
Now, this is a soul-searching love song.
It's the only ballad on the album, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that song was terrible.
Yeah, it was.
But it was really bad.
It was just, it wasn't even, like... somewhat redeeming.
I don't think he was
bad.
Trying.
Yeah.
I really don't.
On an album that's already like
It was poor.
The songs are pretty catchy, although a couple of them sound really similar to each
other.
I'll give it that.
Towards the end, some songs I was like, I'll just move my foot a little bit.
The title track is not bad.
Turn the Girl Loose was a pretty crappy song.
Yeah.
She's the Boss is also a,
The last one, what was the one that Keith Richards helped write was actually pretty decent.
Lonely at the Top?
Lonely at the Top was really
decent.
Lonely at the Top.
I liked Lucky in Love, although it went on too long. But we're not at Lucky in Love.
I did like Running Out of Luck.
Running Out of Luck is pretty good, although it could have been renamed
Mick
Falling Down in the Desert.
I think that's why I liked it. It's because of the music video that went with it.
It was the best thing I've ever seen. We're all going to go home and buy Mick Jagger's album, She's the Boss, from iTunes.
So they end up escaping.
Well, first, he escapes by himself.
We don't need to go through like the entire. We've already run through the plot. Yeah. We're just talking about things like
plot.
Yeah, whatever the plot was.
Because
here's the thing: so far, Mick Jagger has been Mick Jagger at a video shoot. He's been some sort of slave,
worker,
some sort of banana underpaid banana worker,
sir.
Sex slave, prostitute.
Yep.
Sex deviant. And now he's running off with Radong Chong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, they decide to get money. He makes like some call to somebody that he knows back home, they act like, you know, they're like, hey, Mick Jagger's dead. Quit playing around with me, you know?
You crazy fan. Yeah. Stop pretending to be Mick Jagger.
Yeah, I guess
guys.
People have been calling this guy and pretending to be Mick Jagger.
What was his
help.
Name? Angelo, I think?
Yeah, Angelo.
And they can do his voice really well, apparently, because, I mean, people who've been around Mick Jagger, apparently his whole life, have no idea what he sounds like on the phone.
That's what I was wondering the entire time. Like, don't you know what your friends sound like on the phone?
Mm-hmm. Nope. And that's what he sounds like when he's singing. Yeah. That is like an old blues man.
I guess he should have sung it to him. But so after that, he thinks he's out of luck. He's run out of luck. Then Radon Chong like plays the last coin that they have in a slot machine that's for whatever reason is out at this general store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they get enough money to go to Rio and decide to then press their luck that they've run
they're
out of.
They're going to rob a casino, essentially.
Yeah, they're going to go to a casino and
break the bank at Monte Carlo.
Yeah, break the bank. She's going to help him cheat. He got all these clothes from that drunk, right?
They stole the clothes from the guy who looked like Colonel Sanders.
Whom they also, which we forgot to mention, but I feel like Mick Jagger and Radon Chong laughed at the colonel raping some other lady.
It was Mick Jagger.
Yeah. Mick Jagger's wig on this other lady, and he just took this woman away. He had a much shorter and much heavier than Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
And actually see him, like, press himself up right against her from behind.
Like a very rapey sort of scene.
Behind a little
and they're giggling,
shutter window.
And like they're watching from above and giggling at it.
And, like, the woman is clearly trying to get away from this man's embrace. Like, it's
like
not even ambiguous.
She's the least happy prostitute in the entire brothel. Yes.
And they, like, she went out of her way to help Mick Jagger escape. And now Mick Jagger and Radon Chong are just looking...
laughing at her misery.
At her
like
misery.
She's just a punchline.
Yeah.
They're like Bonnie and Clyde. They've gone too far, but they don't realize it.
Yeah.
So they have now,
this whole casino montage.
Yeah, so he goes from being a rock star to a slave to a prostitute to a, like, casino, like, some sort of shark, some sort of, like,
kind of effeminate shark.
Yeah, at this point, like he is dressed up like... Victoria.
Shark. Yeah.
Like the man, man pretending to be a woman, pretending to be a man.
He's dressed
and his hair slicked back and like a little bun.
Up like Julie Andrews.
I think he's dressed. Well, it's also kind of like Liza Minnelli in Cabaret.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. He's wearing like a woman's tuxedo.
Yeah. His hair is very slicked back.
His hair is slicked back into a really, really short ponytail. It's quite different from what he looked like for the rest of the movie.
I'm also fairly certain he's tucking, but that's neither here nor there.
He broke out into song there, too. So
there wasn't any dialogue.
Yeah, again, no dialogue. Just walks into a casino and starts singing his...
With a bag of coins.
During the entire monkey in love.
During the... During the song Lucky in Love, she helps him cheat at roulette. I don't know how that works.
No.
Yeah.
She helps him cheat at craps.
Yep.
Then she helps him cheat at poker.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're discovered by the pit boss.
Oh, discovered because they're terrible at it.
Yeah.
And sent to prison. And he ends up in a cell with some other guys. And then he hangs up a famous painting over his bed in the cell. This during one musical montage.
You know what I like the most? Is that when he went into prison and he's like, they just put him in the cell. He's like tired. He's worn down. He gets up into the bed. And just before, like, he's so tired, he's gonna lay down. But then he looks down at the magazine and rips out that one page of that painting and puts it up on the wall before going to bed.
Yeah.
Like, that was the one thing he had to do before going to sleep.
Yeah.
Now, Mike,
he's had a long day.
Now, Mike, as an art expert, what did this painting symbolize? Because you were the only one who was familiar with it.
I've seen the painting, I think it was marked the end of, like, what was it,
the Spanish resistance to Napoleon's invasion.
Yeah, to Napoleon's invasion.
Why do you hang that up there?
Yeah, I have no clue.
I think
to show like he's ready to revolt or something. I'm not sure what they were trying to symbolize there.
Over the montage of him at prison, he collects more art, and it's all fine art.
Yes.
He has if you notice in the cell, I don't know why I'm breaking this down. Everything else in the cell.
I didn't notice any of this at all.
Everything
just
else.
Porno images.
Everything else in the cell is just naked ladies, as you would expect.
Typical
in a
prison.
Jail cell, But he decides to hang up fine art.
Yeah.
He classes up
culturally.
He's on a different level.
Yeah.
He may be a sex-crazed lunatic who goes into casinos looking to steal, but
he only laughs at rapes.
Yeah.
he only laughs.
He doesn't commit rapes.
Rape, hilarious. Art.
Yeah, a very. It was a very
saved.
Surreal jail, like a
right.
like a.
Yeah, it was like a Dadaist jail.
It was.
They spent all day like marching around in a tiny circle in the middle of the yard,
and the gates were kind of just open because prisoners just kind of busted out and danced.
What did they have to eat?
Some
green Play-Doh?
Some Dago Play-Doh.
Yeah, it was like green Play-Doh with maggots. Don't forget the maggots.
Yeah.
Oh, maggots have green Play-Doh.
And not only did it look gross, and you're like, oh, God, that's gross. Are you going to eat that? Mick Jagger does eat that. And then it's even grosser than you think it is, because he then makes the best face and spits it out.
Yeah.
As if, you know, maggot-covered green non-food-like substances would taste
that?
Good.
Yeah, and I will say that the best dance scenes happened
in the prison.
Prison.
Yeah.
The best extras.
Yes.
Oh, this movie was a movie of extras.
Yes,
the most
really
entertaining
is.
Extras ever.
Yeah. All drawn from the ranks of the Brazilian carnival dancers.
Yeah. Most men wear half shirts. I don't know what the deal is with that, but I'm buying
a lot of tube tops, and in jail, a lot of ripped up floral tube tops.
Yeah, ripped shirts, and
the truck driver had a wife beater that was rolled up to make him look like he was wearing a sports bra.
Yeah.
This was a slovenly truck driver.
Yeah.
Drunk.
Yeah, drunk and stumbly.
With some shorty shorts.
Yeah, so they have great outfits, these guys.
Yeah. They do. And they're just so into it. They're super into dancing. One guy has pearls.
Yeah. My favorite was the pirate guy that had like the bandana.
Yeah.
And he was always smiling and happy. He's having a great time in prison.
These guys are all just in prison.
Yeah, they totally outdo Mick Jagger on the dancing.
Oh, yeah. He does a whole Jailhouse Rock number of him, you know, dancing around. I think the song is called Secrets.
Yeah, that was the song that was juxtaposing his being in jail, which actually looks like he's having a great time in jail.
Yeah, jail
he really
seems
was.
Awesome. Yeah.
So he's happy now, but Jerry Hall is unhappy because she's being threatened with murder and then having to murder other people for
no apparent
reason.
I wish I could go to jail. Or jail.
I want to go to jail.
I mean, that one guy who was also, I noticed on the credits, the guy who had the pearls, he was listed as a transgendered prisoner.
Oh, really?
Yes. I assume that's the one they were talking about.
It was only
like
one transgender
in 1986?
I think it was
that's
transvestite.
Awesome.
Oh, well, maybe it was transvestite.
I was
going to
say, that's like very progressive.
Yeah, I think back then they said transsexual.
that's
I mean, we don't say that word that much anymore.
Yeah.
Transgender now.
Yeah,
now it's just, it doesn't come up too much, but... Yeah.
Wait, is
really?
transvestite a bad word now? Is that a bad word?
I don't think so.
I hope not. I hope you haven't been saying...
You don't identify with a woman, but you still... You don't identify as a woman, but you
still...
Yeah,
that's just someone that dresses it
sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, transvestite. Okay. Okay.
It's like a cross-dresser.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's in jail, but I think he clearly chose his outfit. Like, the pearls, you don't just...
Yeah.
He used to wear.
He rolled up, he's like, this is what I'm wearing, guys.
And the guy with the bandana, same thing.
Yeah,
but apparently, I don't know how long that he was in this jail, for a while.
Yeah.
Enough to collect at least like five paintings.
What you
went into jail in with is what you wore. Because Mick Jagger wore the same outfit the entire time.
Mm-hmm. That was the one continuity thing that actually made sense.
Yeah.
Was that like the wardrobe that he wore got progressively worse?
And you're probably asking yourself how did Mick Jagger get himself out of this jail jam?
Oh, well,
he didn't.
Two words: poison nipples.
Poison nipples.
Yeah.
Also, continuity errors, as we're on them.
talking about continuity errors, Radong Chong, she devises this plan. She gets a bunch of money somehow, probably by prostituting. She's a prostitute by trade.
Why not?
So she gets some weird, it looks like nail polish.
Yeah.
But she...
acetone-based poison.
Yeah, some acetone poison. She puts it on her left arm, I think, and then around her left nipple, and then goes and talks to the warden to try and buy the Englishman, as he's known, out of jail. He doesn't have a name
Englishman.
In jail. And so she keeps throwing him money. He's like, that's not enough. And he's like eyeing her goods.
Yeah.
And he starts just like taking off her pantyhose. And she's okay with it because then she busts out her right nipple. Doesn't make sense because she didn't poison that nipple.
Nope.
And poisons the warden with her nipple.
Yeah. Maybe they just cut away earlier. Maybe she did the right side.
Yeah,
and then
why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you just want to make sure?
You know, why wouldn't you just cover yourself head
all
to toe
over.
With poison? You know,
she made a lot of lunch.
She made a lot of effort.
I guess not. But
putting on that weird triangular hat and her outfit.
Oh, the hat!
So
was
I think
amazing.
She probably
prepared
the poison.
Well, I thought didn't we agree?
The whole, a lot of these wards. Let's break it down with wardrobes because wardrobes are pretty crazy.
Oh yeah, the wardrobe
was
amazing.
Oh yeah.
Aside from the extras who are dressed amazingly the entire time, and aside from the Indiana Jones transgender.
She was just a mannish woman.
Yeah, I think she.
I think she just
she was the boss.
One of the transvestites, well, actually the one that ended up dying, that kidnapped Mick Jagger in the beginning, had this amazing pink full ruffle gown.
It was the biggest thing.
Yeah,
it was like the grapes from Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah, it was very big. Yeah. Like it was billowing. Like I
guess would have been the same dress they would have found him in, because after they killed him, they just kind of threw him in the car, which I guess they assume Mick Jagger died.
Yeah. That wasn't the prostitute that stole his jacket.
That was a different one.
He was one of the ones that was beating him up.
Although that was the most feminine dressed transvestite. Yes. That was not the one who ended up being beaten to death by the other two.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of great outfits.
Yeah. There was an interesting red jacket evolution, which we pinned down to where Mick Jagger had a very red leather jacket, very much like Michael Jackson's Bad.
And I thought that maybe he had just borrowed it from Michael Jackson's closet. But then we found out
Michael Jackson actually
year later.
Yeah, Michael Jackson was a year later.
The video came out in 87.
Came out in 86.
Yeah,
but Eddie Murphy's Delirious came out in 83.
That was even earlier.
So they're all just ripping off Eddie Murphy.
Good call.
Everybody's just trying to get Eddie Murphy.
Yep. It all goes back to Eddie Murphy. But the Mick Jagger video was very West Side Story. Very much like Michael Jackson's Bad. It was I wanna call out Michael Jackson for ripping off this whole dance montage.
I wonder if there's some agent that's in common or some sort of producer that would be interesting. There has to be. Some sort of director that's in
Maybe
common.
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper probably
was the director for Bad.
Dennis, little known fact.
I'd be surprised to find out that Dennis Hopper directed the Bad video.
I don't know
who did, so maybe it was him.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper is to acting.
You heard it here first.
As Mikey is to eating. that's the moral of the story.
In terms of the actors in this movie, you've got Dennis Hopper and Radon Chong. Those are the only two actors in the movie. Among the Brazilians, they all just speak Portuguese, so you don't really need actors because the audience doesn't understand what they're saying anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, and there isn't really dialogue anyway. No. There's probably, all told, maybe like 5 to 10 minutes of dialogue.
Yeah, 80% of the movie is just video, or music.
But they do a really good job, like the entire movie was compelling just because you're like, what the fuck is happening?
It was a journey.
It was an
epic journey.
It was a journey
through the mind of Mick Jagger.
It was an odyssey. It says on the back of the box that it was an odyssey.
Hey, you know what? They did a pretty good job with
but
that.
But you know what? It also says that it was a musical comedy adventure, which I do not agree.
None of those things. It was musical, but
there was no there's no comedy written in.
No,
he did a lot of mugging, especially during the scene when he was trying to convince that guy on the phone that he was Mick Jagger. He was really exaggerating his facial expressions.
Oh yeah, really.
But if you didn't see Mick Jagger exaggerating his facial expressions all the time, you would not think this was a comedy, really.
No. There's nothing really comedic about it.
Well, I mean clearly, Mick Jagger found that woman getting raped hilarious.
Yeah, did you see all those hilarious rapes?
Yeah. But, I mean, it was a very funny movie because of Mick Jagger. Like, it's very unintentionally funny. Yeah.
You know, like the scene where he is flipping a coin to decide which way to go at a crossroads, and it falls down a gopher hole, and he screams, which is silent, but you see him screaming.
Yeah, if you see nothing else in this movie, if you choose to watch any part of this movie, the beginning when he's first when he first wakes up and he's let out of he's put into a meat truck, into a random meat truck,
by the transvestites. Maybe. What about hanging there is like 8 foot long chicken drumsticks.
Yeah. That's what it looks like.
Tyrannosaurus Rex legs.
Yeah, exactly.
So the drunk driver who's driving this meat truck sees him in there when he's making his first door delivery.
Yeah, he just delivers one piece of meat to this convenience store.
Well, he just throws it on the sidewalk. Yeah. He doesn't even bring it in.
No.
It's very early in the morning. He sees Mick Jagger in there, and then I think it's dubbed with somebody mumbling in English.
Yeah.
He's like, gotta get you out of there. Gotta get you out of there.
But yeah, so he's left there, and if you're gonna watch anything, watch the scene where he first wakes up from being in the meat truck and goes through the desert.
Yeah.
If only for... there's such good, unintentional, funny stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And also really bad special effects, i.e. the rain.
Yeah.
Oh, the rain is one of the worst parts.
The rain is like... What do you call those? The watering...
Watering can.
Watering can. That's all they did. They just took a watering can and poured it just above the camera.
Yeah, it's like an extreme close-up of Mick Jagger's face, and then there's a watering can. It's like watering over him. And you can tell that it's not hitting the ground behind where his head is.
Yeah. It's him and the ground in front of him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, just to hammer home the point of how cheap the special effects were, he moves his head out of the shot, so you can just see the watering can just clearly dripping down into the one spot. It's not raining anywhere but this one spot.
It's like they had better rain effects in episodes of the Dick Van Dyke Show, for example.
Yeah.
They would have been better if they just had a hose and put their thumb on the end.
That would be better.
One continuous stream of water.
Yeah. No, even
he could have been woken up by some kid spraying him with a hose.
Yeah. Even if they just had a hose above, and just had like, it didn't matter. Yeah, but the water source, it wasn't believable as rain.
No.
The concerning thing was, though, for me, the most concerning thing in this movie was when he finally got out of the desert, he happened upon a cemetery. There's some sort of Santeria stuff happening.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he found these offerings, and one of the offerings was like a bowl with like a whole roasted chicken in it.
Yeah.
And there was no telling. It had just rained, one. Mm-hmm. There's no telling how long this chicken has been out there.
Whatever it was better than the maggot stuff he had.
Yeah, that's
prison.
True.
That was before the prison. Sorry.
Yeah. It probably was better than that that McDonald's quarter pounder with maggot.
And also he shooed away. He was like, hell with this.
Yeah, he didn't even want the maggoty. Do you think that was some sort of commentary on McDonald's food?
Maybe.
No.
Like, even just dying of hunger in the desert.
I won't even eat McDonald's.
Because he saw the McDonald's container as another one of those mirages.
No, it was there.
Then he but it was, like, very happy to see it. But then he opened it up, and then he was disgusted. Yeah. But he likes the concept of McDonald's.
Mm. Yeah. But, yeah, so he ate some chicken that just, you don't...
Now, was that chicken in a bowl of what looked like popcorn? It looks like it's in a bowl of popcorn.
I believe it.
Yes. Apparently it belongs to these martial arts pilgrims.
Yeah.
They're walking up the path in some sort of procession.
But then back to the beach to do some capoeira.
So this gigantic mammy type starts berating him for a while.
In Portuguese, knocks
his chicken on the ground, throws some stuff at him.
I mean, she's so pissed she's ripping up stuff in her own garden.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
So he runs away, and then he starts climbing around the capoeira yard. And he gets kicked in the face, and that's when the Indiana Jones lady picks him up and takes him to the banana plantation.
Indiana Jones carries a gun. Just like everyone else in this movie, cannot shoot a gun unless it's 45 degrees up into the air.
Yep.
Yeah, that was required by the safety insurance for the movie. Not only do you have to not have any actual bullets in the guns, but you can't shoot them at anybody.
Yeah, you can't point a gun and shoot it at someone. You got to point it up in the air and shoot it.
Yes.
Yeah, the other scene where you see someone shoot guns is when they finally get caught for trying to scam this casino.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they're security guards, but they honestly just look like bandits.
Yeah, they were wearing yellow and blue striped shirts.
Yeah.
Bandy toes. Yeah.
So, like, he runs away, and I guess to, make a general panic in a casino, because that's what you really want to do.
Yes.
These guys just pull out guns and just start shooting in the sky.
Just start shooting up the ceiling.
Like a hotel. Like, this isn't some sort of building.
It looked like some underground, like it was possibly illegal.
I don't think you just start shooting at stuff in that sort of scene.
That was a super classy place.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let Radon Chong in because she was wearing no shoes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mick
no
Jagger switched his hair back and everything.
So did he have any other incarnations in the movie besides prostitute, prisoner,
gambler.
Some sort of thug after he finally gets back to London.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And he was just like kind of rock star at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, so finally after
he gets back to London, right?
Yeah, we don't know what happens with Radon Chong, and we don't know
she stays in Rio, because he's about to leave at the airport.
He knows that a low pro-ho should be cut like an afro, because that girl is poison. Belle Biv DeVoe.
He and the Stones used to do her.
Yes. He makes it back somehow, right?
Well, he makes it back on a plane. Somehow they get a lot of money in the casino, even though their cheating is discovered.
Yeah.
And
maybe that club
paid him for singing the song at the end. They're like, hey, that was really good. Here's some money.
Yeah.
So he shows up at the airport, and then they bump into Dennis Hopper again, the music video director, who has a different rock star behind him.
Yeah. And doesn't recognize Mick Jagger.
No.
He's playing himself, so he's in a universe where Mick Jagger is Mick Jagger.
He's like, I think I know that guy.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, he's convinced that Mick Jagger is dead. He's moved on with his life. Onto another one of his stable of rock superstars.
Yeah.
So he and Radon Chong have one more night. She asks him to have one more night.
That's right.
And he does, because the airport doesn't have any more flights out that night. So he's like, I might as well.
And because one of the songs on the album is called Just Another Night.
Yes.
The vast majority of the effort that went into the screenwriting was deciding in what order these songs should be in the movie.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a really good thing that this band in Rio can just, pick up with the song right away. I mean, They have none of the right instruments.
Yeah, Mick just hops up on stage, starts singing. They're like, yeah, we know this song.
And the thing that was funny is that what was really fun, maybe this was like one of the comedy scenes, was they're sitting and they're listening to this band. And she's like, you should go up there and sing. And he's like, oh, they're not really playing my kind of music. But the thing is, he's been singing everywhere to nothing the entire time.
He was sang while he was dehydrated and looking at mirages.
But then she convinced him, or he convinces himself, and he's like, can I borrow your bag for a minute? Her makeup bag.
Yeah.
So he takes it. He ducks under the camera for a second.
Literally a second.
And then he pops back up, full makeup.
Yeah.
And then he has some sort of like glittery...
It was her jacket.
Yeah, he grabs her jacket that's all glittery and awesome.
Yeah. It's interesting because he's turned around and then he turned back around and he looks completely different.
Yeah.
He rewound it a couple of times, but all he had done was put on some makeup.
Yeah,
like a lot too. I mean, he's really good at putting on makeup.
He looks completely
proficient.
Different.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of looked like the girl from Weird Science a little bit.
Yeah.
There he
gets up on stage.
But Mick Jagger.
He gets up on stage. He actually plays some guitar during his song Just Another Night. He does not do the flamenco guitar solo toward the end of the song.
But I feel like he overplayed it on screen. Like, he was playing that guitar, and there was not that much guitar in the song.
He was strumming
full chords, and it was like a...
It was rhythm guitar at best.
Yeah. So he has a weird improv... really good improv night.
Just making up songs on the fly.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's dancing with, the people of Rio, which, by the way, in the same part he says, this isn't really my kind of music. He also says, this isn't really my kind of crowd, which is a kind of a recurring theme of this, like, subtle racism.
A little bit.
Oh, here we go.
Well, at one point he says, like, I got to get back to civilization. Now, he does say this right after he just laughed at a woman being raped.
Well, the movie did depict the racial hierarchy in Brazil pretty unflinchingly.
Yeah, it did, actually.
Because
all the
serfs
darkies
at the banana plantation were all pretty dark-skinned. And then we went to the Brazilian casino. Everyone in there was pretty light-skinned.
Yep.
It did do that. And, I mean, and the shopkeeper, he was like, right in the middle.
Yep.
Perfect for shopkeeping.
More or less political. Than society.
Much less. Much less.
I would say it's more.
Both answers are acceptable.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. This is where the movie disappoints.
oh, man. This is where disappointing?
This is where the movie disappoints the most.
This is the one part where the movie disappoints.
So,
the only part.
So he ends up... Mick Jagger ends up back in London.
He took Varig Airlines.
And, and he ends up, he doesn't tell anybody that he's back. He doesn't try to get in contact now that he's somewhere where people would recognize him, where he has an agent probably. He has a manager. He has an ex-girlfriend.
He has family.
He has Dennis Hopper.
He has the rest of the members of his band, and he's in London.
Yeah.
He's from London.
He contacts nobody.
He
rents a space above a bar, above a pub, I'm sorry, and to practice with his band.
Because no one's going to recognize Mick Jagger going up a bar.
No.
I think the idea is that they're planning one of those, like,
it's
like a sudden concert, like the Beatles on the rooftop sort of thing.
Sure.
It's like, surprise, I'm alive, and I'm Mick Jagger.
Some journalist finds him.
A journalist. Like, why did he have all that much money? Was he a journalist?
I think he was maybe an agent.
Yeah, maybe he's a PR guy.
Yeah. He had a briefcase of money.
It was unclear who this guy was. I mean, he was played by Jim Broadbent, the third actual actor in the movie.
Yeah.
He just appears in the very last scene of the movie.
Makes a cameo.
He goes to the bar and says, I hear you've got somebody rehearsing here. Hands the barman money.
Also, he's very bad at bribing people because he just has a full billfold of money.
He's like,
just starts giving it out dollar by dollar.
Yeah.
Let's
sure you don't have anybody here?
The bartender's like, come on, man.
Sure?
Yeah.
Nope.
Keep it coming.
Sure?
So you got a whole wad there.
Yeah, I've never tried to bribe somebody, but I wouldn't do it with all the money I had out.
Yeah, you put it in different pockets. You'd be like, well, I got
$20. Like, this is all I got. And then they got to press you for more money.
Like, well, shit, let me get my other pocket.
Yeah.
What if I gave you 1% of the money that I have?
Yeah.
That's the most I can do.
What about this huge wad?
Okay.
I'll give you this one bill. 2%. No, that doesn't work. What about these other bills?
But here's the disappointing part. Movie ends. He brings up the, what's his face?
Suitcase.
Jim Broadbent.
Brings up
a suitcase
full
of money.
And
then also a bottle of Bacardi, what we're guessing is Bacardi, for Mick Jagger, because he likes drinking Bacardi straight out of the bottle.
It was a big, looked like a, shaped like a wine bottle, but it was clear, and I guess it had Bacardi in it.
Yeah.
I thought it was mineral water.
No,
he's
going to
party like it's his birthday.
It's Mick Jagger. It's alcohol.
It's drinking Bacardi like it's his birthday.
I think the slovenly Brazilian truck driver was drinking the same liquor out of the same bottle.
Probably.
I think it was probably the same prop throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, it probably was the one bottle they had.
Like, our bottle budget's like... We got $7 for a bottle budget.
But Jim Broadbent comes up and he's like, he tries to convince Mick to do something, and Mick just robs this money from him.
We're not done rehearsing yet.
And then
makes it rain.
Yeah, makes it rain. Continues rehearsing. That's the end of the movie.
Fade to black.
That is the end of the movie.
The last thing we see is some people on a building across the street watching them through binoculars.
And taking
pictures. So we know that the word is going to get out that Mick Jagger and his anonymous band of schmoes are back in town.
It's alive.
Everyone's going to be excited again.
And, you know, that he's going to be wanted for what I assume is going to be, like, assault and robbery.
Who knows? That happened in Brazil. It doesn't matter anymore.
Come on. No, I'm at the robbery at the end where he just robbed Jim Broadbent.
Of all that money. Yeah, that too.
I think Jim Broadbent is some sort of underworld figure, maybe.
Yeah.
They don't care to explain.
I have no idea who this guy was. You thought he was a journalist.
I thought he was a journalist.
I thought he was some music guy.
I thought he was trying to patronize him sexually, but...
He heard that he was a prostitute.
Finally, Mick Jagger's in a vulnerable position.
I know exactly how to get through his heart.
Will.
Yeah.
I got Bacardi and money. That's all. That's his language.
That's all you need.
Wait till I show him
tongue.
This entire...
Yeah. Flash him some tongue.
Wait till I show him this entire briefcase of money and offer to pay him half.
Okay. Half see this briefcase? I'll give you the two stacks on the end if you have sex with me.
So to repeat, this movie stars Mick Jagger as Mick Jagger.
Yes.
Correct.
And he plays him convincingly.
But there's no mention of the Rolling Stones in the movie. And at the end, he's playing with some other band.
He brings out a Rolling Stones album.
That's right, that's right. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And they play, Brown Sugar and
Jumpin' Jack Flash. And that was during the scene that we totally skipped with the shopkeeper.
That was possibly my favorite part of the movie.
Oh, yeah. There's a shopkeeper, and he's trying to use his phone, but the shopkeeper's like, I need money to use this phone, which is fair, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I don't have money, because he doesn't. And so he's trying to convince me, he's like, no, I'm Mick Jagger, I'm a famous person, and they're like, we don't know who you are. Yeah. And then he goes through, there's a bunch of albums there, there's a bunch of vinyl.
Right. He goes through all these records that they have in the shop.
They're all Julio Iglesias.
He goes through 20 albums of Julio Iglesias.
Yeah, that was by far the funniest part of it.
Yeah. That was a comedy.
Julio Iglesias album after Julio Iglesias album.
And then Rolling Stones.
Yeah. one Rolling Stones album.
Beat up,
octagonal shaped jacket album.
With a picture of Mick Jagger that doesn't look like Mick Jagger.
It looked like Steven Tyler, if anything.
Yeah, but he tried to dance and sing to it to show that he was Mick Jagger, and they still didn't get it.
He put on the sweet moves that Mick Jagger's known for.
And some kid laughed at him.
Yeah, some kid was mimicking him, too.
Yeah, the kid just came out and was like, oh, you can dance? I can dance better than you.
Yeah, I can slap my leg around.
Check out this booty move.
It's like, I danced at least as good as you. I should be able to use the phone twice.
Yeah.
It would have been a lot easier if he had just convinced him that he was Julio Iglesias.
Yeah, probably. If only he knew some Julio Iglesias songs.
Or just traded him shoes or something.
He could probably sing Le Maire.
Yeah. Or offer to wash some dishes. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'll do something
or
for you.
Or traded a jacket.
Yeah, it's just
anything.
Use the phone.
I mean, shit, the man traded shoes for a woman earlier. Yeah. At least he could trade his jacket for
a
phone
call.
They were
really nice loafers.
Yeah, he had all that colonel's entire wardrobe that he could have traded for a phone call.
Yeah, exactly.
See, this then points us to the fact that this movie didn't really have a script, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, it was a bunch of songs, and then they slapped together a storyboard around these songs and sex scenes.
And sex scenes.
So this director Julian Temple was kind of a specialist in this. Because he earlier done a 20-minute video for David Bowie for one of his songs, Blue Jean. But this one is the first one he's done that is just basically a feature-length series of music videos.
Yeah.
So what do you think the best moment in this movie was? If you had to choose one moment that was the... There was actually a lot of good moments in this movie.
Well, for me, it was when he was going through the Julio Iglesias records.
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious. I actually really... See, the thing is, I can't call it a moment because it was the entire montage. So since I can't call that, because that was really good, I will say that was the best segment of the movie.
Okay.
But the best moment for me in the beginning when I was like, this is going to be good, was the taxi lift scene when they're shooting the music video.
Oh, yeah.
They do
that
sweet, they lift this woman up while she just kind of jumps up and slides across the top of the
taxi.
She's
in a figure four position. Yeah. Not really moving.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
That was good. I forgot about that.
There's some good moves.
So much
in
more
this movie.
Graceful than the Ninja Turtles when they try to do it.
Yeah.
They're doing across the top of the car, not the hood.
Yeah.
I think my favorite moment in the movie is when he. When Mick Jagger comes up on the Santeria temple and first finds the chicken, it's a very strange scene, and I really want to get I really want to just get a screenshot of this. It's just a really close up shot of Mick Jagger with a chicken leg in his mouth, and he just tears into it
he
a monster.
He's so hungry.
He's an animal.
Has meat dripping from his mouth, and just looking forward as the Capoeira people are coming back.
Yeah,
you figure that whole desert mirage sequence is probably filmed 4 feet from the beach. Somewhere.
Yeah,
probably.
He was doing a good job of pretending.
Yeah, he was sipping mojitos in between takes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my favorite was probably the jail scene, just because it was just very epic. There was a lot going on. The dancing was great.
You love that dude.
Yeah, I love that guy. That guy was
that guy made the movie for
best dancer. That one extra, the pirate one.
Yeah, the pirate guy. Yeah. Between that and the random shooting in the air, those are probably my favorite parts.
Yeah. I mean, the prisons, the scene in the Brazilian prison is definitely the closest the movie comes to being like a 50s yes. style musical.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a pajama game or something. Yeah. Which is, I mean, if you've seen movies like Madame Satá, you know, it's not exactly like that in the Brazilian prison.
Yeah.
But, probably not so, exactly.
Not exactly. This is definitely a flight of fancy.
Close enough.
Really, really delighted into me.
How about some bad moments? I feel like the entire...
Yeah, the whole movie was kind of
the rape
bad.
Thing was, like, not yeah, the cool. Yeah,
pretty terrible.
I didn't like either of, like, the rapes, because I consider what happened between Indiana Jones and
Yeah,
Mick
that
Jagger
was very much rape.
That was very not rapey. Consensual.
I mean, if it wasn't, it was not enjoyable to watch.
But she was using... It was. It also was not enjoyable to watch.
I mean, two burly men brought him to a bedroom.
Right? Yeah.
Because during the scene where he's being sexually manhandled by Indiana Jones, this is when they're playing the song "She's the Boss."
Yeah.
It's definitely the goofiest song
and
in
cuts,
the movie.
And it starts
it
to
includes a lot of
between,
him shouting, "She's the Boss!
Yeah,
I'm the Boss!"
You're the boss. It cuts between... Oh, that was another good moment. It cuts between like her having her way with him, and then he's entertaining his fellow like indentured servants by singing "She's the Boss."
Yeah.
And he does this really awesome scene where he's singing and how it's like she's the boss in bed
kitchen. He's in the kitchen and he uses a frying pan.
Yeah, he just grabs a frying pan.
He picks up a frying pan when he says she's the boss in the kitchen, and then he says she's the boss in the bed, and then he gets to the bed and like
starts airing
the boss in my head.
Yeah,
and then he jumps up and like mugs like
that was a good
his eyes really wide.
Yeah, so
since you already said the rape scene, I'll say my least favorite part was when Jerry Hall was reciting dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
only like the first 5 minutes of the movie did she ever say anything.
Yeah. Let me tell you, it's a long, it's
it
a long
it
five.
Feels.
I'm gonna piggyback.
Yeah.
I'm gonna piggyback on Mike and say that my least favorite was just everything with Jerry Hall. Like, everything was just bad.
She was terrible.
You didn't need it. It was just pointless.
I don't
just
know if she's acted in other movies. I mean, probably most models did in the 80s.
Yeah.
I don't know if she did, actually.
They could have easily cut her out of that movie and still made it, I guess, if you call it a
little less awkward. Because she's depicted as the ultimate shrew slash
vulture.
Yeah.
I feel like the only reason she's in it is because Mick's like, hey, we got to put her in it.
Yeah, she probably...
She's not going to put out if I don't put her in
she's
this movie.
She's probably pouting about it.
Oh, I guarantee you. I mean, I bet if you look at the album cover and even in the movie, she's probably like listed as like some like executive producer.
Donated
like $3.
Or something like that.
Oh,
I also want to point out that Kevin Hart made a cameo in this movie.
Yeah, that's right. Good.
Yeah.
That was
one of the indentured servants happened to be a dwarf.
Yeah.
With a very
probably Kevin Hart's first movie.
Very, very expressive face.
You know,
does a little dancing.
This is actually before his stand-up career.
Yeah.
So.
This is his first stab at Hollywood.
Well,
I guess, you know, you've hit on a lot of like the worst parts of the movie. And I mean, everything is really just... Nothing is great
costumes
in the movie.
Are great.
Yeah,
the costumes are
great.
Dancing's
good.
I can't say like I could say broad things like the plot or half of the actors or anyone who put
actors.
Money.
Half
is
being generous.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess
that's if you're including the extras.
I will say the movie ends and begins so abruptly as to be like jarring.
Yeah.
And the font for the is like some of the worst. Indecipherable font on
the VHS
tape.
The worst part might be the font at the beginning.
Yeah,
you know what else was really bad that I forgot about was that boat scene at the very beginning.
The very first line of dialogue is Jerry Hall saying, "Lover, you promised me sunshine."
Yeah, so terrible. And there's
just
a random girl topless.
Yeah.
I thought that was to be the only toplessness in the entire movie.
No.
It was in the first like 10
seconds.
There's
plenty of toplessness.
But eventually there was somebody else as well.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're still trying to figure out how to do the rating. And in the beginning, we thought it'd be cool to just have a completely made-up rating system, which I still think is a good idea, system that doesn't mean anything at all. But we also thought that maybe it would be good to have a spectrum so that we could sort of let you know where these movies fall within
the rest of the movies that we're talking about.
Yeah, the rest of the movies that we've seen. So you know the ones that we recommend the most as opposed to the ones we recommend the least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so has everybody done their spectrum?
What was that fantasy movie? What was the name of that one?
So far, we have watched Frozen Assets. You weren't here for that one, Mike.
So that one's...
We have watched
Final Mission.
We have watched The Quest.
Yeah.
And we have watched Society. And we have also watched this movie.
That's five.
Running out of luck.
For Daryl, it's only three.
What was the name of this movie?
Running out of luck.
Yeah, running out of luck.
We didn't realize we had to name this one as well. I kept thinking it was running out of time or running out of something else.
Running out of everything.
And by the way, while he figures out,
all right, I've tallied mine.
Okay.
Oh wow.
I'll go first.
Okay. That was fast.
My least favorite movie that we've watched is The Quest, just because it was kind of boring. Yeah. It wasn't engaging at all. Running Out of Luck just barely beats that out. The only redeeming thing out of this was like the music was kind of catchy and it was kind of funny, I guess.
There's a lot of music, so yeah, that's a good part of the movie. Yeah. That's 50% of the music. That's really good.
But it's
right
still
there.
Not that great. Above that, I'll put Society just because it was so bizarre and just so off the wall. And then I'm going to put Final Mission as my number one right now.
Oh.
Just because it wasn't a good movie, but I find myself like going back to it and be like, you know, you think about it every now and again.
Yeah.
The other movies, you just like just kind of toss out.
It's really become part of the collective unconscious.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to put Society at the top. I think it's the most interesting movie.
Yeah.
The most original movie.
It was far out.
Definitely.
Okay, after that, I'm going to put Final Mission. There's a lot of exciting explosions in that movie and some nice passwords. Then I'm going to have the Quest at number three. I like the whole message. Well, not message of the Quest. Not the part about how Aboriginal beliefs are ludicrous, but I like... I like, the way the kids interact with each other.
You like the racism in the movie?
It's not racist. Just because they use the word black fella doesn't mean they're contemptuous towards the black fella.
Oh, well, I mean, blackies probably
a
not.
Little.
That's probably.
Okay, so I'm going to put Running Out of Luck between The Quest and Frozen Assets, which I'll just put Frozen Assets at the bottom because, you know, that often happens with comedies. Now, even though there's a lot of individually memorable moments, it's just such a stupid experience to sit through something like that.
My spectrum is going to look so much different, guys.
Okay. Well, that's why we have more than one person on the podcast.
So I'm going to start at the bottom here. At the bottom, I'm putting The Quest, even though it was one that I recommended. What? It was just boring.
Didn't you like that sassy little girl?
I like the sassy girl, but like all in all, it was just a boring, kind of nothing film.
I agree.
It didn't amount to much. I don't want to watch it again.
No. I would never watch it again. I would not recommend it again. So after The Quest, kind of far up after The Quest would be...
The Quest is a far bottom.
It's really far.
In the scale of five, it's actually a six. And then they just kind of go off.
So after that would be Running Out of Luck, which actually I found, you know, enjoyable in its own way. It was weird. It was not a good movie at all. It was an experience. Yeah.
You're not going to see many movies that have this little of a script.
No.
Just the fact that this whole thing was made is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And above that, I put Society, because that was a very interesting movie. It had a lot of stuff going on in it, too. A lot of good special effects. Probably the best special effects we've seen. And then Final Mission, because it had a lot of good quotes, a lot of good scenes, and up top, Frozen Assets.
Wow.
2014 movie of the year.
So you're just a big Corbin Burnson fan? You want us to just go back to watching nothing but Corbin Burnson movies?
I do enjoy Corbin Burnson.
You got him in the top two spots there.
But really, Frozen Assets, Larry Miller made that movie for me. Absolutely made that movie for me.
If he had been in this movie, it might have been...
Larry Miller as Mick Jagger.
Instead of... let's say instead of Dennis Hopper as the angry...
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Larry Miller as the cheerful...
cheerful, kind of incompetent.
I was secretly a rich guy who pays for everything.
I was thinking Larry Miller as the fat prostitute.
You want to see Larry Miller get raped by Colonel Sanders?
What if Larry Miller was Colonel Sanders?
Doing
the raping.
And
that's more the kind of role he plays. That's more the kind of role he tends to play, unfortunately.
Actually, I would have loved to see him play Indiana Jones. That would have been hilarious. I would have loved to see him dominatrix the shit out of Mick Jagger.
That would
have
been amazing. That probably would have been a much better sex scene, too.
Would have made that strange, like, pegging scene just hilarious.
Yeah, because I have a feeling that Larry Miller probably actually knows how to have sex.
Yes.
Because he has to work at it. He's the kind of guy who'd probably have to know what he's doing.
Mick Jagger is surrounded in the bedroom.
Mick Jagger doesn't need to know what he's doing.
In the bedroom, he's surrounded by yes men, which I guess would be yes women.
Yeah.
No, they never tell. They never tell him what's
great.
Wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like that.
Just like that, you geezer.
When you get yours.
Yeah.
All right. I guess for my ranking of the three movies I've been a part of so far, I think at the bottom I'm gonna have to put Running Out of Luck. Ooh. I think just because, I mean, definitely an interesting movie. I highly recommend watching it if you just really wanna.
If we hadn't seen it on a VHS that was almost 30 years old, it probably would have looked really beautiful. No, like all those, you know, all those scenery and the costumes and the backdrops. You know, if this was on Blu-ray, maybe better.
Yeah.
Maybe a lot better.
So I put it at the bottom. I mean, it's certainly entertaining. I do really, really enjoy it. I think second, like right in the middle, frozen assets just because Larry Miller does make that movie.
Smasher.
You know, comedies, just like, it is a comedy for no one in particular. No one could really enjoy it, but it's just hilarious that it exists. And
yeah,
then,
it's like, as children, all the music in that movie is like music from a children's movie. Yeah.
There's even a cartoon, like, dream sequence. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, there's castles and sperm banks in the middle of small town
there's
America.
There's so much going on in it.
It really
I'm really
is.
Sad I missed this movie.
Brothels. Oh, God.
Just listen to our year-end review episode.
You'll know the movie.
Yeah.
And then, of course, at the top, Final Mission.
Yeah.
Because...
can't pass it.
God damn.
Girl will, manipulation.
I will shout out Society for giving me some terminology that I use
yes.
in real life, which is poppin' high ones.
Poppin' high ones.
Poppin' high ones.
Constantly. You ever get a boner?
Oh, poppin' high ones.
Poppin' high ones.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I was going to say shunting. I don't know when you would use that constantly.
No, poppin' high ones, though, I use.
Shunting is in the...
in life.
Yeah. I've said it as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Popping high one. Yeah. That's good. That's
it
good.
Is really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get that into the lexicon, everyone.
Yeah. You weren't here for it, Daryl, but in part of the dialogue, the mom says to the daughter.
I don't think
in
it was
the
mom to the daughter. I think it was that was when the daughter was talking to her friends.
No, it was the mom. To
it
the
was
daughter
the mom. Yeah.
Because it was the recording that he had.
Yeah. So
because
they were
talking about going to her debut and whatever, yes. whatever. And her mom explains, "Oh, your breasts—they look so good. The men will be popping high ones."
Yeah.
Which. Not the low ones, not the low boners.
Not the
yeah,
no,
not low
no, it's this is
yeah. And we also devised that the higher the boner, the hotter the chick.
You don't pop a high one for an ugly chick.
No,
you
exactly.
Don't waste
you just,
it.
No, yeah. you don't waste it.
So a guy doesn't have a small penis. It's just an ugly woman that he's dealing with.
Let's place the blame where it
clearly belongs.
Yes.
It's always the woman's fault.
Yes.
Clearly.
Right. So I still take a lot of joy out of popping high ones.
All right. And we should also go through the Bechdel test.
Oh, yeah. This movie does not pass it.
No, not even close.
No.
There's barely dialogue between men and women.
There's an opposite
that.
Test for men. Doesn't pass that either.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
I don't even know if there was. There was that once. There was Dennis Hopper asking Mick Jagger if he'd ever seen West Side Story, and
most,
he said no.
Yeah.
The most dialogue in this movie is Dennis Hopper yelling.
Yeah. Did the prostitutes ever talk amongst each other?
Not
they're English. Okay. While they're arriving, really.
Yeah, they weren't characters we knew the names of.
Yeah,
they weren't names.
Yeah.
And most of it wasn't in English. I mean, I kind of like that they didn't bother to, like, you know, try to put a billion subtitles in it because
yeah.
they knew that it didn't matter.
Yeah,
it emphasized the way we could identify with Mick Jagger's isolation in this alien world.
Because if there's any human being on the planet that I identify with,
it's
tongue out Mick Jagger.
God, ugh. I can't.
So if you really want to see Mick Jagger's tongue,
yeah,
this is the movie
yeah,
for
try
you.
Try getting this image out of your head.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons and Mick Jagger making out.
Oh, Lord.
Ooh. You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've ever wondered, like, how Mick Jagger has sex, it's in this movie, and it's awful. It's awful. Do you think that, like, this movie had, like, any point to it? Like, if it was trying to make any sort of statement?
No,
other than
I think it was just trying to sell albums.
To this album?
Yeah. No. I mean, because you start with a bunch of songs, and then you kind of retrofit them into a... It's basically maybe the first jukebox musical, although consisting entirely of songs from one album that nobody cared about.
Yep.
That's basically what this was. They tried to fit these songs together into a craptacular narrative.
Exactly.
Let me get deep into this.
So, no.
I think maybe Mick Jagger is telling the story of his struggles, about how he is a slave to his music. He is a sex slave to his women.
Of course.
How he's a prisoner of love. How he's a gambling man in life, and
how he's just stranded sometimes,
isolated. Yeah, how he feels like the money that he makes with music is like robbery, because he's actually not that talented.
I think that's a good way to place to end.
Yeah,
I think that is the deepest thing that has ever been said about this movie, or any of the individuals in this movie.
Yeah.
You think this is a cry for help from
yes. There's a lot of subtext here, I'm saying.
Somebody get that man a friend.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's one last quote I want to read out about the movie.
Sure.
I couldn't really find any reviews from the time, but in a book called, a book about Mick Jagger, I don't know what it's called, but I found it on Google Books, it says here, we're titled Running Out of Luck. The Julian Temple-directed film bypassed theaters and went straight to video, much to the relief of Mick's co-star, Radon Chong. I'm not against love scenes as long as they are tasteful, she said of her racier on-screen moments with Jagger. The scenes in this video are not tasteful.
Yes!
Wow.
She hated the sex.
Even good.
She hated it.
In your face, Mick.
Yeah, take that.
Schooled by radon. Not radon, the toxic gas. Radon chunk.
She should call herself radon.
Later. Radon. Oh, that'd radon. Be a good name.
She's toxic.
That'd be a good, like, if she's going to be a superhero or something.
Finally, this movie fulfills one of the quests that we try to look for, but it's very hard to find. This is a movie that was released on Laserdisc, but was never released on DVD.
Awesome.
I mean, how many of those were there when you think about it? It was
not
that
many.
So big that it was released on Laserdisc back in the 80s, but
nah.
When DVDs came along...
They said, nah, just leave it.
I guess there must have been some demand for it.
But... I think I only ever had two movies on Laserdisc, and that was
I've had zero.
Coming to America and Natural Born Killers.
Lover, you promised me sunshine. Oh, we could catch cystomyasis hookworm. Or, oh my god, leprosy.
Leprosy.
Hey guys, have you heard the good news? The Forgotten Failures now have a web presence. You can check us out at ForgottenFailuresCast.com and like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/ForgottenFailuresCast. But you know what we'd really love? Even more than the thrill of the hunt and the taste of the shunt? We'd love an email from you. Tell us what you think at ForgottenFailuresCast@gmail.com.